This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, June 25th, 2019. I'm Caleb Brown. When Donald Trump imposes tariffs, he often does so under the guise of national security, with many dubious claims supporting the restrictions. Cato's Simon Lester is co-author of a new paper, out today, challenging the pervasive national security rationale for restricting trade. One of the key rationales that this president has offered for specific tariffs even on Canada, our biggest trading partner, has been national security. What, if you can drill down just a little bit, what are those rationales and how have they been used in the past?
Well, what the Trump administration has done is taken this fairly broad statute that was written during the Cold War that gives the president the power to restrict imports on the basis of national security. And so in the 1970s, for example, there were concerns about oil prices and being dependent on Middle East oil. And so there were some restrictions imposed in order to protect domestic oil production at that time. But this remedy, this statute has kind of fallen by the wayside, hasn't been used up much recently. But President Trump and the Trump administration have been looking for excuses to raise tariffs, and they found a good one here. They looked at this statute and said, this is really broad. We can do a lot with this. We can restrict imports of a particular product, and they started with steel and aluminum, from anywhere. Even if it's our good friends, the Canadians, we can say, basically, we need to have a domestic steel industry in order to have a functioning economy, to be able to provide for our own national security. And the statute just gives us a lot of leeway to do so. So they impose tariffs on steel and aluminum imports from around the world in order to support those industries here in the United States. Now, the Defense Department weighed in on this and said, we produce plenty of this stuff here. We don't need these tariffs. Nevertheless, the folks at the Commerce Department who are running the investigation and the president decided we are going to restrict, we're going to put tariffs on steel and aluminum imports from the whole world on the basis of national security. And as you can imagine, our trading partners were upset by that, and many of them have retaliated with tariffs of their own. And many industries, U.S. industries who use steel and aluminum, were upset by that because it's raising prices for their imports. So the U.S. auto industry isn't happy about that. So, there's been a lot of pushback, but the Trump administration so far is sticking with this and talking about expanding the remedy. So we started with steel and aluminum, but they're talking about imposing it on imports of automobiles and auto parts as well, which would be a much bigger impact on the economy.
As I like to say here, and I know other people who care about trade like to say, if only there were a duly constituted branch of government that could do something about this.
Exactly. And so Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gives Congress the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations and to impose duties. But over time, Congress, I think, maybe lost faith in itself or for various reasons delegated some of this power to the president. And that's what this Section 232 Trade Expansion Act of 1962 is. It's Congress delegating power to the president to adjust imports, in this case, impose tariffs on for reasons of national security. Now, in theory, Congress could just take that power right back. For years, I don't think they had much concern with the way the president was using this power. But since President Trump has been imposing tariffs on steel and aluminum and threatening on autos, they've started to rethink this a bit. So there are a number of pieces of legislation, draft pieces of legislation out there through which Congress would restrict the president's power. So, for example, what they could do is say, all right, the president can impose the tariffs or other trade restrictions, but then Congress needs to sign off on it after a certain period of time. So maybe, within a month, Congress would then have to sort of approve what the president had done. There are a number of ways that you could do this. And there are some competing pieces of legislation out there. And so I think, the Republicans in Congress have been reluctant to challenge Trump on his tariffs. But I do think that when you reach a certain point, when everyone just says, OK, he's gone too far, there does seem to be a willingness to kind of to step in and do something about it. So I think that if the steel and aluminum tariffs were acceptable, didn't go too far for people in Congress. But I think if President Trump imposed tariffs on automobile imports, I think that would be enough for people in Congress to say, even Republicans say, all right, we've got to step in and change this. You know, this power is being abused. And I've been listening to the way members of Congress have talked about it. So Chuck Grassley, powerful Republican senator from Iowa, he's been weighing in on this publicly, saying, look, we need to take some power back from the presidency. And he's been very careful. He's not criticizing Trump specifically. He's saying we've delegated too much power to the presidency, putting it in sort of abstract terms. So I think that the recent Trump threats of tariffs on Mexico, if they don't deal with illegal immigration and the possibility of tariffs on automobile imports, have given some incentive to Republican members of Congress to really kind of rein this in, because, you know, I think President Trump has shown that this power can be abused and Congress may, get up the gumption to step in and do something about it.
As long as this president sits in the White House and these powers exist, what signals does that send to other countries that might want to deal with the United States on a trade basis?
It tells them that there's an inherent risk and there's inherent uncertainty. No matter what agreements you've signed, you really can't count on President Trump sticking to them. A great example is the renegotiated NAFTA, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA. I mean, the NAFTA eliminates virtually all tariffs on trade between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, and the USMCA sort of upholds that, keeps it in place. But nevertheless, President Trump just a week or two ago was threatening to put tariffs on all imports from Mexico, which would be a clear violation of the terms of the old NAFTA and the USMCA. And similarly, with these Section 232 measures, these tariffs, virtually everyone agrees these go against probably the letter of our international trade agreements and certainly the spirit. And yet President Trump has gone forward with them anyway. And so the message that our trading partners get is, you know, you just can't really believe anything that you sign with the United States. You don't know if these trade agreements are actually going to be upheld or complied with. That just creates a lot of uncertainty, among the governments, but then also companies who are relying on, you know, when they see these trade agreements, they see tariffs going down, it gives them an incentive to make investments. And if the tariffs could be reinstated at any time, well, it creates a disincentive to making new investments.
For a long time in law, the view was, if I understand correctly, that this idea of the non-delegation doctrine was, if not dead, at least mostly dead. There is a non-delegation challenge to the president's authority under Section 232 of the 1962 Trade Expansion Act. So what is that challenge?
Well, so the Constitution assigns powers to Congress and to the executive branch. And, you know, over time, sometimes Congress has decided, well, we're going to delegate some of that power. And mostly that just went unchallenged and uncontested. It was just sort of assumed, well, that they can do that. But in recent years, you know, people have thought a little more carefully about that. And it looks like there are people who are interested in reviving something called the non-delegation doctrine, which basically says that Congress can delegate power, but there's got to be some intelligible principle behind it. There's got to be some limits. And there's a case going on. The Supreme Court could decide any day, or it could be re-argued, I think, with Justice Kavanaugh, as I understand it, which would give us some guidance on how the Supreme Court is thinking about this issue more generally. And that would help inform the challenge going on against the Section 232 measures right now based on the same principle. So we're going to get sort of some general principles from the Supreme Court probably soon that would then be applied in the future to the specific steel and aluminum tariffs. And so, I mean, the basic idea here, though, is that when Congress delegated this import adjustment authority to the president under Section 232, you know, did they really Did they create enough boundaries? Did they give too much discretion to the president? And if so, maybe that delegation was improper. Yes, you can delegate some of your powers. Congress can delegate some of its powers, but it's got to create some limits, some judicial review. There's got to be some restrictions involved. And so, you know, it's possible that the Supreme Court could upend all of this with their, you know, decision that's coming up soon in the Gundy case, and then future decisions on the Section 232 statute itself.
Simon Lester is co-author of Closing Pandora's Box, The Growing Abuse of the National Security Rationale for Restricting Trade, available now at cato.org. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us at Twitter at Cato Podcast.